Alrighty. Hello, everybody. Let me grab my notes here. There are three things that I want to talk to you about today. I don't want to talk at you, I want to talk with you. Put your school hats, pens, pencils, whatever on. We're gonna do a little history lesson today. We're gonna do some teaching today and kind of tie it all together. That's the intention anyway, just so you know what's coming. The first thing I want to talk about is our words. The science of mind reading this morning about trust. Trusting in spirit. Trusting that we are one with spirit. The second word in the word that I want to talk to you about today comes from this little pamphlet that Reverend Jill is doing on Wednesday nights for our classes, our Wednesday series, Release and Renew a Spiritual Spiritual Practice for Lent 2021. And the word today is oneness, and I'll get to that in just a second. And the third thing that I want to address and tie all together today is that March is Women's History Month. Yay! Yoo-hoo! That's right, yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! So our words, we talk about them all the time. We talk about the power of the word in this teaching, in the New Thought teaching, in one of the five principles of unity, affirmative prayer, and the right use of our word. We know that we have the power to direct our word into that law, to speak our good. We know that in Science of Mind, the founder of religious science, Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes, was the reading today, and also thank you, Anne, for addressing that in the prayer. In what we call spiritual mind treatment or / affirmative prayer, again, it is the power of our word that we watch, we mind, carefully, consciously, willingly, thoughtfully, lovingly choose what we say. That's a practice. How many of you actually spend a lot more time thinking about what you say before you say it? How many of us respond, or I should say react, when we're poked or provoked? It is the practice that Jan talked about in that reading this morning, trusting that we have the right guidance, that we have the right supply and the right support, trusting ourselves in the decisions that we make before we speak those words. We know that our words have power, and it's not, of course, just the word. It is the intention, it's the feeling, it's the emotion, it's the consciousness behind those words that bring our experience into manifestation. So we know those absolutely important words like wisdom and trust and integrity, and that we are careful about where we place them with others, but more importantly, where we place them within ourselves. New Thought. Today is the New Thought Day. It is the celebration of New Thought. And honestly, I didn't know that this was a thing until about 6 weeks ago. I didn't know that we celebrated such a thing. Did you? No. Okay. So there is a history behind this. Let me go back a minute. Just remember, the other word that I wanted to address before we were going to this was oneness. And that does come from as this, and I will go ahead and read this because we are talking about the words, and I will get it in the right order in my brain. It's all good because it's all God, right? I trust that it's happening, right? And some glasses would be helpful as well. I just went, oh, I can't read that. So this is Reverend Mark Anthony Lord, who has a book called The Seven Living Words during Lent of Jesus, where we know that the seven last words of Jesus have been studied from all different fronts, metaphysically and otherwise speaking. And the first quote that he uses, this is oneness, behold your son, behold your mother. This is from John 9, 26, 27 through front, and he took it from the New King James Version of the Bible. At first glance, Jesus' words to his mother, Mary, and the disciple John might seem odd. Like all that this master teacher said, however, his words are to be taken as spiritual direction. They point to oneness and right relationship with each other. I am a divine creation of God. I'm a wonderful, brilliant thought in the mind of God. This is who I am, was, and always will be. This is also true for you, of course. This is our supreme, all-encompassing reality. My less than supreme reality is that which is founded on my fears, which occupy a large chunk of many of my days, if I let them. In my less than supreme reality, I have enemies, people and societal groups that don't look like me, think like me, or believe as I believe. There are individuals who don't like me or who want me to fail. There are people who could harm me and people whom I see as in my way. All the while this crazy duality experience is taking place, there is, amidst the chaos, the wholeness of God of which I am. It never went away because it cannot go away. The wholeness of God is here and now, and when I focus my immediate attention on prayers or prayers on it, the nightmare disintegrates. It was never real after all. In God, in my God self, it is safe to see all as one. And not only is it safe, it is true and wonderful. What gets crucified is the illusion of separation, fear, and suffering. The only way this collective lie of separation will ever be transformed is through you and me, one person at a time. That's what Jesus brilliantly showed us. He refused to buy into or support any world system where the fuel of fear and separation generated power. He knew oneness. He only saw oneness. To Jesus, anything created out of fear and separation was a lie, child's play, not even worth entertaining, and certainly no threat to him. What Jesus did, you and I can do. He said that. We just have to be willing to give up the illusion of separation. There is only one life here of which we are all a part. I suggest and invite you to come pick up a copy up here at the church. You can also get these at unity.org in under their free publications. You just have to click in, sign up, and they'll send you one. Cool stuff. So oneness. The phrase that keeps coming around to oneness about me is, as he talked about, as everything that's tied together this morning, is being in the flow of God, is being in that reciprocal relationship that we have at every single moment in our lives, that we have access to when we get our, as Emerson said, our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits so that things could flow easily. The phrase that has been running around in my head lately, and it just kind of knocked me a little sideways when I heard it not too long ago, was we are either in the flow of God or we are in the way of God. Not as in the way, we're going along the way, we are blocking stuff. And that has been kind of a touch point for me lately in everything that I'm doing in my life, what I'm meditating on, what I'm visioning for, what I'm affirming, what I'm doing my gratitude practice, when I'm doing all of my spiritual practices. And anytime that fear comes up, and that fear is our false belief in separation from our source. When I remember that, when I feel it in my gut and I feel it like getting a little constricted, I know that I am getting in the way of the divine circuits. I am getting in the way of God. So back to this New Thought Day thing. About 15 years ago, they are still around, they are still alive, a ordained and licensed Center for Spiritual Living religious science minister and her husband, an ordained Unity minister, decided that they're kind of teaching the same thing. They're teaching oneness and yet kind of not being oneness. So they started asking around their friends, other ministers in the Association of Global New Thought, in Science of Mind, in Unity, in Agape, Michael Beckwith's place, and ministers, and said, do you think that at some point our organizations could actually work together? And what was most interesting in that first round of questions was that all of those ministers said no. They didn't think that our organizations could all coexist and work together in oneness. So this couple, it is Stephen Albert and Abigail Albert, you can look them up. They started the Poway Interfaith Team in California, Poway, P-O-W-A-Y. It's a little place in California. They are still going strong. And interfaith meaning Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Judaism, everything, all of the new thought, anything and everything you can think of, interfaith. They created this organization. They called it the team, the Poway Interfaith Team. And rather than be discouraged about the fact that there were a lot of ministers not thinking that there could be oneness, they went directly to the heads of all of the organizations, to the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living. At the time, 15 years ago, there were actually two organizations under the religious science, Science of Mind. There was the International and there was the United. So they went to those leaders, and they went to Michael Beckwith, and they went to the Association of Global New Thought. They went to the president and the spiritual leaders of Unity and Divine Science and everything else, and they went to the leaders and they said, "Do you think we can work together?" And everybody said, "Yes. We're talking about oneness, are we not?" So, long story short, 2013 at the Parliament of World Religions, all of those organizations had spent enough time writing documents together that they were able to actually be recognized by the Parliament of World Religions that New Thought was an actual major, quote, major religion. And down the way then said, well, we probably need to mark that day. The first Sunday in March is New Thought Day. So here we are, first Sunday in March. Now you know. Happy New Thought Day! Woohoo! So how does this all tie into Women's History Month? Well, we have one woman in particular that I'm going to focus on today who was, as we know, and is called the Teacher of Teachers, and that was Emma Curtis Hopkins. And I'm going to read you a little bit about her because she's quite the thing. She actually studied with Mary Baker Eddy. This was in the 1880s. This was the suffragette movement was happening, and this massive thing called the Industrial Revolution going on in this country, in the world, actually. And Emma Curtis Hopkins was studying with Mary Baker Eddy. She also worked for her. Mary Baker Eddy was on the East Coast. They were in Connecticut, and Mary Baker Eddy was the one that started Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy, to everything that I've learned and have studied, had a little bit of an ego, a lot of an ego. And her publications, she ran a very tight organization that everything, as we would say in today's terminology, everything was about her. And the whole organization, what she taught, what anybody went out and said about Christian Science, always had to be the way she controlled all of it. She wasn't feeling so much oneness, as it were. And Emma Curtis Hopkins worked on as an editor for a lot of her publications, and they kind of butted heads after a while. And Emma Curtis Hopkins was actually fired, and because she was saying, you know what, this isn't about you, it's about the teaching, and it's about what she was finding, the mysticism in what was becoming New Thought. So Emma Curtis Hopkins went to Chicago. She actually founded the Hopkins College of Metaphysical Science. And the reason is because she turned out to be quite a popular speaker. She was very charismatic, Emma Curtis Hopkins, and she was also a healer. In fact, healed a lot of people. In fact, healed people that went on to say, hey, she's got something here, whereas Mary Baker Eddy was claiming that she found all of this and discovered it on her own, Emma Curtis Hopkins was saying, it's coming through. It's our oneness with the source. Just like Jesus said, not me, it's the Father in me doing the work, okay? So Emma Curtis Hopkins becomes the teacher known as the teacher of teachers. She ordained Charles and Myrtle Fillmore that founded Unity. She ordained Nona Brooks and Melinda Kramer, who founded Divine Science. She ordained Emily Cady, who wrote Lessons in Truth, which is the core text, the main text that Unity uses. And her last student was Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind. And that was much later. That was 20-plus years later, after the Fillmores started Unity, that Ernest Holmes was doing his work, and he begged to go sit at the feet of Emma Curtis Hopkins, and she said no many times. She said, "I'm not teaching anymore. I'm not taking students." And he finally got in with her, not to learn the mechanics of it, but he was fascinated by the mysticism. He was already doing his work of distilling what was coming, all of the reading, the voracious reader that he was and studier that he was of world religions at that time. He was seeing the commonalities and distilling those. He went to Emma Curtis Hopkins for the mysticism piece. There were also a couple of sisters, Annie Ricks Millitz and Harriet Hale Ricks, who founded the Home for Truth in Alameda, California. What was interesting about all of them, especially Annie Ricks Millitz, is she had gone to Emma Curtis Hopkins to learn, to study with her, and when the very short amount of time she studied with her, she was cured of migraines and deafness in one of her ears. And she said, "I think there's something here." So she and her sister were in California. They started the Home for Truth and actually ended up founding the International New Thought Alliance. So we circle back to New Thought Day, which is really interesting because Annie Ricks Millitz had taken a bunch of people to, pretty much it was like a world expo, a world fair in San Francisco in 1915, more than 100 years ago. And the organizers of that expo were so impressed by all of the New Thought speakers and teachers that they actually minted a bronze medallion and called it New Thought Day when all of those people were speaking there. They were so impressed by what they were hearing and what they were seeing. So that's how we circle back over 100 years later. And it said the organizers were so favorably impressed by the International New Thought Association convention that they declared a special New Thought Day at the fair and struck a commemorative bronze medal for the occasion, which was presented to the INTA delegates led by Annie Ricks Millitz. So there, you got this huge history lesson between New Thought, oneness, Lent, and Women's History Month. And tomorrow, by the way, March 8th, is International Women's Day. There you go. I just want to read to you from the New Thought mission that was when we got this whole thing 15 years ago about New Thought Day. This was their mission. And all of these organizations that at one time said they couldn't work together to come up with this mission statement. "We honor the diversity of cultures and faiths while aiming to articulate, practice, and embody more fully universal spiritual principles. We honor and respect all faiths, cultures, creeds, and races, and learn from those who believe spiritual equity and human rights belong to everyone. We encourage personal transformation and collective awakening. We practice the gift of active compassion and kindness through our service to all life. We foster a world that works for the highest good of all." One of the things that that you may have noticed if you've been around New Thought for any length of time is the number of women in the organization. That was Emma Curtis Hopkins' focus when she founded her College of Metaphysical Science. Her specific focus was on training women as spiritual leaders. So go, Emma, thank you so much for that. So that oneness statement that talks about that oneness, it circles back to that place where what we believe, what we use our words with, what we say with the intention behind it, with the belief behind it, with the conscious choice to choose the words that we use, we know has tremendous power to make a difference in the world. That's what I think oneness is, that statement from the New Thought Mission. So I invite you today, if you took a lot of notes, great. If you didn't, okay too. You can always go back and listen to this. And I invite you, look up Emma Curtis Hopkins specifically, and all of the people that she so heavily influenced that created this thing that we know now as New Thought, that continues on doing the work in the world of oneness, of being consciously aware that we are divine beings and we have the ability to be in conversation and to be in the flow with it any given point in our lives, any part of our day. So I'm going to invite you now, as we go into meditation, to center, to take a deep breath, set your coffee down, set your bagel aside, put the dog on the floor if you can get them off the couch, put your feet on the floor. I'm going to ask, Katie's going to do a little meditation music behind. And I invite you, what I'm going to read to you for our meditation today comes from Annie Ricks Millitz and her sister Harriet Hale Ricks, the founders of the Home for Truth. And this is these are their guiding principles, and it is called the Affirmative Morning Prayer. It's from their book, Primary Lessons for Christian Living and Healing. So I allow these, as you take a deep breath, as you get settled in, as you center, just allow these words to just float over you. God is health, life, love, truth, substance, and intelligence. God is omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. I am the thought of God, the idea of the divine mind. In God I live, move, and have my being. I am spiritual, harmonious, fearless, and free. I am governed by the law of God, the everlasting good. I am not subject to the law of sin, sickness, or death. I know the truth, and the truth makes me free from evil in every form and from all material bondage, now and forever. God works through me to do whatever ought to be done by me. I am happy. I am holy. I am loving. I am wise. Positive health is my natural state. Prosperity is our natural state of abundant good. The only place is here. The only time is now. Through right use of our free will, we create for the highest good of all. We know that there is only a word called sin. It is not a thing. It's simply a judgment, a definition. Because what we know in this teaching of new thought is that the idea of sin is when simply we've shut out God for a little bit. We have forgotten our oneness with our source. And so if there is any idea for you coming up, any thought, breathe into that thought. And say, I forgive myself. I forgive myself for any and everything, any time that I have ever forgotten my oneness with God. I forgive myself for any time that the fear of separation from my source, from God, from Spirit, caused me to say or do harm to someone else. And keep breathing through that. I forgive myself for any time that I forgot my connection with God, with my source, that may have caused me to do harm or say something harmful to someone else. And then return to the light. Return to knowing. Return to trusting that there is never a separation. There is never a separation from God, from our source, because it is in us. It is acting through us. It is expressing as us. And we cannot ever be separate from it, only in our thought. And the thought can be changed. And so what we know in changing our thought is we can turn continuously by asking a simple question. At any moment of stress, any moment of anxiety, any moment of doubt or fear, we can turn and ask, where is God in this? Not from a sense of being abandoned, but so that we are consciously looking for and finding that infinite good that is always there and available. That's our practice. Where can I find God in this situation? Where can I find God? Where can I see the good that is coming from this that is happening right here and right now? Because if we practice focusing, knowing, trusting that there is that that is waiting on us in every moment, waiting on us to accept the good that is overflowing at all times. When we practice being receptive to it, and radiating out and demonstrating that we are divine beings, doing our best in every moment to remember and to know that we are God expressing. That's when we find oneness with everything, with our fellow humans, with our fellow sentient beings, with the planet, with everything that is and was and will be created by that one, only one, power and presence. So I invite you to breathe in the knowingness of that, the gratitude for knowing. There is that that we can always turn to. Always. And set aside in every single moment, set aside everything that has come before it and simply breathe into the moment. Maybe just uttering that one word, God. Breathing God, breathing Spirit, breathing the universal mind, the infinite intelligence, whatever name you give it. Pausing and remembering we are never separate. Never. So breathe that in, my friends. Breathe deeply into that with gratitude. I am grateful to know this truth. I am grateful to be able to trust this truth. And if you still find yourself challenged to go there into trust, you can borrow some of mine. Because I'm holding that space for you. So breathe. Rub your hands together if you feel so inclined to get a little more circulation going back into your hands. Stretch. I love you dearly. Bless that connection. Even through a camera, through the mystery and the magic and the technology, there's still only one. And we're a part of it. Namaste.